The following audio is presented by Grace Church. For more about us, visit discovergrace.com, or you can download our free app by searching Grace Church Orlando on your phone or tablet. Now, we hope you enjoy the message.
That intro video is so epic. I feel like it's so anticlimactic that I just walk up here. Like, maybe next week I'll be lowered down from the ceiling or something, but that's just well done. Well done. Anyway, listen, we have been starting a new series called Preparing the Way, and we recognize that in January, this is a time of year where we're thinking about forming new habits or making changes in our lives. Why? Because we want to grow as people, and we want to become deeper as people. And in the Christian life, we call that deepening spiritual growth. And what we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, what we're going to continue to talk about today and next week, is the fact that we can place ourselves in certain places, and we can start forming certain habits where God will meet us along the way, and it'll put us in a place to grow. We recognize that our spiritual growth ultimately is up to God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But there are choices that we can make, and there are things that we can do to put ourselves in places where we know God will grow us, where we know we're going to be walking side by side with Him in our growth. And so we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about church attendance. We talked about giving. And now today, we're going to shift, and we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about something belonging here in the body of Christ, something we do for one another. And so I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31. That's where we're going to be today. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be paper Bibles on the row, maybe the end of each row. Please grab those, and you can turn to page 821 in those. And so there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31. We're going to walk through that together. But as you find that, there's one big idea that I want to give you right now that I think is kind of a summation of what we're going to find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I'm going to give you this big idea, and then we're going to break it down together. So I'm going to give it to you now. We're going to break it down together. If you're like, I'm not going to be able to write all that down right now, don't worry. We're going to talk about it our whole time together. So let's throw it up here. In the body of Christ, to each has been given diverse and indispensable gifts arranged by God in the local church for its benefit. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. In the body of Christ, to each has been given diverse and indispensable gifts arranged by God in the local church for its benefit. And you're like, wow, that really rolls off the tongue. Well, it's 20 verses, so calm down, all right? I put it in one sentence, all right? But here we go. Let's break that down. So let's start with there. In the body of Christ. Let's talk about that. In the body of Christ. When we place our trust in Christ, what we see in 1 Corinthians is that we are joined to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, let me read this to you, verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So when we follow Jesus, we become joined by the Spirit of God. We become joined with Jesus. And that makes sense, right? Like, that seems like a no-brainer. That seems like, okay, yeah, I can understand that. I can get with that. But also, we see here in our text today, starting there in verse 12, that the Holy Spirit also joins us to one another. That happens. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, not only are we joined by God's Spirit to Jesus, we're joined by God's Spirit to one another. Look here in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Now, we often make like the redeeming work of Jesus kind of like individualistic. There was a very popular Christian song not too long ago, a number of years ago, that I remember that the church I was involved in at the time used to sing this song, and it used to make me grit my teeth every time that they would sing it. And here's literally the lyrics. Like, talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. All right, like maybe you sang that song, maybe you sang it on the way here, and that's fine. Just don't say it. Don't nod your head. All right, but like, think about what that song is saying, what we're singing when we sing that song, that Jesus, when you were on the cross, you were thinking of Grant. You know what I mean? Like, you were thinking of me. Let me just tell you this. No one thinks about me more than I think about me, all right? And no one thinks about you more than you think about you. And so we have this idea that, like, that's how God sees us, because God is so personal. That's a beautiful thing. But we have this idea that when it comes to salvation and us being joined together with Jesus, it's about us and Him. That's it, just us and Him. That's not what we see here in the scriptures. It shows us that just as we are linked to Jesus, we are bound to one another as well. Think about the way that we're described in the scriptures. When Jesus in John 10, he says what? He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for what? The sheep. He doesn't say the good shepherd lays down his life specifically for you. It says the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In Ephesians 5, it tells us that we are what? We are part of the bride of Christ. We are not brides of Christ. We're not individuals of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And then here we see we are individual parts of a collective what? Body of Christ. Now, the first Corinthian church, or the Corinthian church in the first century, when they heard this, this would have been normal for them to think of, right? Because they're thinking in a very nationalistic way. You see that in the scriptures. It says there's no Jew or Greek. Why did he say that? Because that's how they identified. When they thought of themselves, they thought, yes, I'm an individual, but I'm an individual who belongs to the nation of Israel. I'm an individual who belongs to this nation here in Rome. Like, I'm an individual who has a nationalistic identity. So they would have normally thought of themselves in this way. They would have thought of themselves as, yes, I'm an individual, but I belong to something bigger than myself. And what I'm saying is, as we look at the scripture, we should absolutely get our thinking to that place. We should change our thinking from this individualistic, like it's all about me, to this, we are joined to Christ and simultaneously we are joined to one another. We are in the body of Christ, something bigger than all of us. And that leads us to this understanding that our spiritual growth is inextricably linked to one another. That's a big deal. As we're talking about spiritual growth, we're talking about putting our places where we can grow. Our spiritual growth is inextricably linked to one another because it's not just about you and Jesus over here by yourself alone anymore. Instead, it says, yes, you absolutely are joined to Christ individually, but you are also joined to one another. And so there's a reality that you can go off on your own and you can watch all the Beth Moore Bible studies you want to watch and you can listen to all the Christian music and you can be in your car and be like a rose trampled on the ground. You can sing all you want to sing, but the reality is there's an element of spiritual growth, a huge piece of your spiritual growth that you will not get apart from being involved in the body of Christ, right? You just won't, because we are inextricably linked to one another. Paul assumes that when he starts talking in 1 Corinthians 12, when he's writing this, he assumes that. He assumes that you already have a nationalistic view of yourself and your identity. He's assuming that you already know you're all in this together. You're all linked together. And so we need to get there. We need to have our thinking there. That again, like you could say, well, I watch all these Bible studies on Right Now Media and I pray every day and all this other stuff. That's great and that's wonderful. And that is spiritual growth. There's a huge part of our growth that we will not experience apart from being together and serving together. So let's keep going. Let's break down that sentence even more. In the body of Christ, to each has been given diverse and indispensable gifts. So to each of us in the body of Christ, we've been given diverse and indispensable gifts. Let's talk about, what do I mean by gifts here? What does Paul mean by gifts here? I think primarily he means spiritual gifts. I think it's the primary. If you look at the context, he's talking about spiritual gifts. This is one of the passages that we send people to when people are like, I wonder what my spiritual gifts are. How has God gifted me in a special way as I place my faith in Christ? We typically go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so I think this is primary. And let me give you a definition of spiritual gifts. This comes from Wayne Grudem. He wrote Bible Doctrine, Systematic Theology, and I think it's a great definition. He says, any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. We believe that, again, as you have been joined to one another, God has gifted us in a special way to serve one another in a special way. And that's a spiritual gift, right? And so I want to ask you a question. Do you have any idea what your spiritual gifts are? Do you have any idea in the way that God, through his Holy Spirit, has uniquely gifted you and has uniquely empowered you to serve in the body of Christ? Do you have any idea? And maybe you do, and you say, well actually, I don't know. Well, and so can I give you some like tips on figuring out how to find it? Most people, when they think of this, they go, oh, well, I'll Google spiritual gifts tests. And you can do that. And that can be helpful, all right? You can absolutely take a spiritual gift test online. But let me remind you that the thing that you take online is an algorithm that someone wrote, and they put it's almost like the Christian equivalent of going on BuzzFeed and finding out what Disney princess you are, all right? Like, it's valuable to know that I'm Merida for life, but like also it's like, I don't know if this is really accurate, you know what I mean? Because some days I feel like a Cinderella. I don't know, like, there's all kinds of stuff like this. So I don't think that's our primary way. I'm not saying it's useless. You can absolutely do that, and it can point you in the right direction, but I think your best bet is to do this. Let me put up these passages here. These are the primary passages that have a listing of spiritual gifts. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, all right? Like, we know that the Spirit of God moves in all kinds of incredible ways, but this is kind of the main passages we point to that list out the spiritual gifts. Here's what I think would be most helpful to you in finding your spiritual gifts. Take these passages, get with other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and study them together and seek God's wisdom together. Like, figure out what they mean. Because here's the deal. You're going to start reading that and you're going to look at it. And it's not going to be like when the first time you read Enneagram, right? You're not going to be like, I am such a two. Like, that's not going to happen. Because what's going to happen is you're going to pull it up and you're going to go, word of knowledge. I don't know what that means, all right? Like, I don't have any knowledge, all right? I don't know what that means, right? Like, so there's, you're going to have to dive into this. You're going to have to give God your best effort with your mind here and study this together. I think, again, one of the best ways is you just need to dive into the Word of God. And I would say do it in community. Do it with one another and say, hey, let's figure this out. Like, let's figure out what are your spiritual gifts? What are mine? And let's figure it out and dive into the study of God's word and see what God does. That's the way I would recommend, right? And if you know what they are, here's what I want you to do right now. If you've got your phone out, you're taking notes, or you're texting somebody, stop. That hurts my feelings. But if you're taking notes or if you're writing it down, if you think you know your spiritual gifts, you think you know the way God has gifted you uniquely in the body of Christ to serve the body of Christ, write it down. Write it down right now, because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. Here's the second thing. I'm gonna keep going on gifts, because I think there's a couple of other as well as we think about ourselves as a whole person, not just spiritual gifts, but we also have the gift of your passions, the gift of your passions. Passions are things that pull you, right? Like, passions are the things that, it's the things in your life that the more that you pour out for, the more that you do them, the more you're filled up simultaneously. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like you can keep going and keep going. You're like, are those Cheetos? Kind of. All right. So anyway, like, it's these things that pull you. It's the things that fire you up, right? And God has gifted us with those passions. And people have all kinds of different passions. Like, I used to think I had a passion for movies. I love movies. I love storytelling. I see a lot of movies, right? My wife always tells me that, like, I'm a movie critic, right? And I'm like, no, you just pick bad movies. But like, I used to think I was passionate about movies. But then I had a friend in college who was really passionate about movies, all right? And so he'd say, hey, do you want to watch a movie? I was like, do I want to watch a movie? What are the alternatives? Studying? Let's watch a movie. So we sat down and we watched this movie, and he's like, what did you think? And I was like, it was good. And this guy was so passionate. He was like, good? You think that was good? I think it was transcendent. We got the hero's story that they told and the perspective that they gave. We didn't just see his struggle, we felt his struggle. And I was like, yeah, man, Ratatouille's good. Like, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? But like, he's passionate, all right? Like, he saw something I didn't see. And the reality is, like, God has gifted you with passions for us. Like, to inspire us and to help us. Like, I think about just this past week, I met with a guy who's in our congregation who is passionate about Bible doctrine. I went to meet him at a coffee shop, and I sit down, and like, he got there before I did, and he's sitting there drinking coffee, and he's reading a book that's thicker than the table we're sitting at, right? And it's written by no one who's quoted in the book has been alive for 400 years, right? But he's like reading this book, and I'm like, what are you reading? And he's like, oh, it's fascinating. And I was like, uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like he's passionate about that. And we have people that God has given so many different passions in our church, and we need those. We have someone in our church who has given the majority of her life to fighting human trafficking. And she's been involved with Samaritan's Village. One of the reasons why we support them is because of this person's passion. She has shown a light on something that the God gave her a passion for. And now we are all in this fight with her as well, right? Like, we have people who are all these different passions. So let me ask you this. What are you passionate about? Because if it is a God-honoring passion, then I think it's a God-given passion. If you're like, if it's not God-honoring, that's not good. Like, if you come up to me and you go, I don't know what it is, I love to steal. I don't know, I just passionate about it. It's just a rush. You know what I mean? When I'm going out Walgreens, I grab the candy and just walk out. Oh, I just feel alive, right? Like, that's not passion. What is passion? It's not God-given, and you have a problem, and we'll talk later. But if it's a God, like, if it's a God-honoring passion, it's a God-given passion. So I want you to do the same thing. Again, write that down. What do you think your passions are? Because, again, we're going to need that in a moment. Write it down. What do you think your passions are? Maybe one thing, maybe two things. What is it? Write that down. Here's the third gift. Is the gift of your experiences. The Bible tells us that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, which means this, that every single one of our experiences is God touched and God shaped, which means that all of our experiences, they have meaning and they have purpose. And so all of our experiences, good or bad, come with a gift from God of something that's for our benefit, something that we can learn, something that we can help one another with. And maybe those experiences are incredibly good. And so I want you to think about that. What are the most impactful experiences you've had in your life? Maybe they're happy experiences. Like, maybe you loved education, you loved learning, you had a great time in school. Good for you, nerd. Maybe you got to travel. Maybe you're a traveler and you've been to all kinds of different places that we haven't been. Well, I've been to Epcot, so I've been everywhere, all right? But like maybe you haven't, right? And so like that's been a good experience, or your marriage has been a great experience, or parenting has been a great experience. You have all these wonderful lessons you've learned in a very happy experience. But maybe these most impactful moments have come from difficulty. Maybe they've come from loss. Maybe they've come from pain or suffering or some sort of just difficult time in your life, right? But what are the most impactful experiences you've ever had? One of the most impactful experiences I've ever had was something that came out of something really, really negative, right? And I told you guys this about this before, but my oldest son, he's named after a friend of mine who was killed by a drunk driver in college. And that was the first time that I had lost friends that young. It was the first time I had ever buried somebody that wasn't a grandparent, right? And so it was a hugely impactful thing for me to see happen and to see God work in a lot of different ways that I had never experienced before. And it's something that comes up in my life over and over and over again. I think about him often, and this experience comes up over and over again. Can I tell you, yesterday it came up in a funny way, and you're like, funny? Hang on, we'll get there. But it came up in a funny way yesterday. My middle son, Jude, was talking to my wife, and she said, where did Max's name come from again? And she goes, oh, well, when we were in college, Maxim died. And Jude goes, oh, my brother's dead? And we are like, Jude, he's standing right behind you, all right? Like, what do you think just happened, like, in the span from the parking lot to the front door? Like, what do you think just happened? But anyway, these things come up in my life all the time. They're incredibly impactful moments. And I believe that because of God's sovereignty, those moments matter. And they matter not just for me, but they also matter for you because God's brought us together, right? So think about what are the most impactful experiences you've had in your life? Maybe jot them down. Again, we're going to talk about those all in a second. But let's keep going. Let's keep breaking this down. In the body of Christ, to each has been given diverse and indispensable gifts. So this passage here, it reveals two things about our gifts. Number one, that they're diverse. Look at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? So we have foot, hand, ear, eye, right? And spiritual gifts, as we talked about, let's talk about the first category, spiritual gifts, they're incredibly diverse. Let me just tell you a couple of them. Teaching, leadership, faith, service, mercy, intercession, hospitality, healing, encouragement, right? They're all incredibly different. And some of these gifts I just marvel at, right? Don't you marvel at the ones that you don't have? I marvel at the gift of encouragement. The people that you walk away from and you feel more strengthened and you're just picked up. Like there's an energy you leave those people. You know those people, right? There are people like that in this room. I think Abby Carcinelle is doing our announcements today. She's that type of person. You walk up to her, she has this incredible mom voice. Hi. And as soon as she says it, I'm like, everything's fine in the world, right? Like she has that type of gifting, right? But we all have these different diverse gifts. Or our passions are diverse. Like God has brought us together with diverse passions. I think about we had to do a budget for 2020 for the church, and so I'm putting this together for our campus, and I'm trying to upload it. We have this online portal I have to upload it to, and it's not working. Every time I upload the spreadsheet, it doesn't accept it or it mixes them all up. So my executive pastor, he comes to me. I'm at the main campus in Orlando, and he goes, "Hey man," like he's in charge of putting all this together. He goes, "Hey, the every time you upload it, it messes up. So how about come to my office real quick. Let's open up the spreadsheet you have on your computer. I'll open up the portal on my computer and I'll enter it in, like we'll enter it in manually, right?" And I was like, okay, that sounds terrible. So I go in there and I open it up and he opens up the thing and I'm like, okay, well, I'll type it out. But he starts typing it out. And I was like, "Hey man, like you don't have to do that." And then he goes, "I love spreadsheets." And he's just like going. I was like, "Don't you have a meeting?" And he's like, "Nothing's more important than the spreadsheet." Like it just, there's something about, like when I see a spreadsheet open, I get tired. I get physically tired and I'm like, time to lay down, right? Like, and he sees a spreadsheet and he's just, I mean, it might as well be the fireworks show at Magic Kingdom to him. Like he's like, "Spreadsheet, more spreadsheets." And so he sat there and he did the whole thing for me. It was fantastic. So anyway, so that's the trick, by the way. If your boss likes spreadsheets, you want him to do your work, bring him spreadsheets. All right. But anyway, like our passions are diverse. Our experiences are diverse. I think about my former church that I was in. We had a guy who was a World War II veteran. Yeah. Yeah, he was that old. We had a World War II veteran. And his experience is like the world he came from and the world I came from were so unbelievably different. And so one day he came up, he was a great guy. One day he came up to me, he was a fighter pilot in World War II. Is that not the coolest thing you've ever heard of? All right, so anyway, so he comes up to me one day and I had had like pneumonia or something like a couple weeks before. And so he comes up and he sees me and he says, "How are you doing?" And I was like, "Man, I had this pneumonia. Now I've got like this little like cold, like this like chest thing I'm dealing with or whatever." And he was like, "Oh, that sounds tough. You know what was tough? Fighting the Nazis." That was tough. And I was like, "Cool, man. All right. Well, bye forever." Like that, you know, but like our experiences are diverse and that's on purpose, right? Our gifts are diverse. Our gifts are also indispensable. Look at verse 19. "If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. So the gifts that God has given you are indispensable in the body of Christ. Why then do we think, as this verse says right here, why do we think that they are weaker? Why do any of us look at how God has gifted us and shaped us and go, it's not good enough? Why do we have that thought?" And I was talking to my wife about this week, and she said, "It's because we play the comparison game." I was like, "I'm putting on the sermon and I'm not giving you credit," but I did, so here we are. All right, but she's right. We play the comparison game. And we do that in every area of our lives. We do it in every area of our lives. Like we look at our house and we look at somebody else's house, right? We were like our kids, they play that game a lot. So our old house in Tennessee, we had stairs. Our new house doesn't. And they think that we are just like, we are garbage people now because we don't have stairs. Like that to them, for whatever reason, that's luxury, right? To me, which I understand, to me as a kid, if you had a fridge in your garage with just drinks in it, that's Rockefeller stuff. Like we didn't have that. So to this day, when people are like, "Oh, I've got drinks outside," I'm like, "Oh," like that still like gets me. But to my kids, whatever reason, it's stairs. We were at somebody's house last night having dinner and they had stairs. And my kids literally just stayed on the stairs the whole time. And we go home and my kids are like, "Why don't we have stairs? Are we poor?" And I'm like, "Stop it." But yes, but stop. All right. And so anyway, that's a big deal. We play the comparison game, but we do the same thing with our spiritual gifts. We do the same thing with how we're wired and our passions and our experiences. We look around and we go, "Well, I can't preach, so I'm not as valuable to the church," or "I can't lead worship, so I'm not as valuable to the church," or "I'm not as joyful as that person," or I don't have this gift. Like, how can my messed up experiences, how can my little passions, like how in the world can that make an impact? And we say, "I'm not good enough." But the truth is, like, we have incredible importance. We are indispensable to one another. I was talking to someone, this was a few months ago, and they had served in Grace Kids, and they were in the kangaroo class. And the kangaroo class is our babies. That's where our little infants are. And I just said, "Hey, thank you so much for serving the kangaroo class." And they go, "I don't do much. I just hold babies." And I was like, "What? You think like you just hold babies, right?" Here's what happens is that you create a safe space so that parents can come in, drop their kids off, and then they can come in here and they can worship and not be distracted and they can hear from God's word because you just hold a baby, right? And then they can come back and their children are happy, right? And their children are happy that they were here. And by the way, you change diapers too, all right? Like that's at least 3 crowns in heaven worth of like eternal reward, right? Like that's unbelievable. But they had this idea. They thought, "Since I'm not in here doing big church, then what am I doing? Since I'm not in robots teaching the older kids, then what am I doing?" And they thought that they were dispensable, but the reality is they are indispensable. Am I right? Everybody, just real quick, just listen. Do you hear that? No crying, because there's no babies in here, all right? Like we have people taking care of the babies. Right? It's a big deal. And so the reality is you have been brought here by God. You are indispensable to what we do. Without your gifts, without your experiences, we are like a body with a missing body part. We are handicapped without you. That's what it says here in verse 19. If we were all a single member, what would the body be? If we all looked like this, if we all acted like this, if we all had the same passions, where would we be? Where would we go? How would we be moving forward? How would we be deepening and becoming more like Christ? Whatever you bring to the table, and I'm talking to everybody in this room, whatever you bring to the table, we need it. And let's keep going. Look at what it says here. Given diverse and indispensable gifts arranged by God in the local church. Arranged by God. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. This is so important. Listen to me. It's a big deal that you're here. That's not right. Let me say it a different way. It's a God deal that you're here. Like, you were brought into this local body, into this local church, not because someone just gave you an invite card, not because, well, I'm just checking it out. I'm looking at other churches or whatever. Not just because, like, you happen to like the music and you could stomach the preaching. Like, you are here because God arranged for you to be here. Like, think about this. We have a need. Like, God looked at Winter Garden and he said, they have these needs that I want to, that they need filled so that they can continue to grow and deepen and continue to take their next step towards Christ. And here's the deal. He saw the needs that we had and he brought you here. That's what this says. Like, God arranged for us to be here. We don't just want you here. We need you here. God looked at us and he said, these are the needs that they have. These are the holes that they need filled. And he didn't just say, well, whoever shows up on Sunday, I hope they can do this. I hope they have this experience. I hope they have this passion. Instead, he placed you here. He arranged you here. We need you here. But oftentimes when it comes to church, we have this like club mentality. Like, oh yeah, I go to that church. Like we say, oh yeah, I fly Delta, right? Like whatever it is. Like, oh yeah, I go to this church. And then we go, you know what? This other church, I like this music better. So I'm going to start going to this church over here, right? Like don't do that. You've been arranged by God in the local church. It's not about what you can get out of the church, but instead it's about what you bring to the church, what God has brought you here for. The reality is I need your gifts. I need your experiences. I need your passions. In the same way that you need my gifts, you need my experiences, you need my passions. You might be saying, well, I don't know how my experience helps anybody. I don't know how my passion helps anybody. I don't know how my gifting is really going to make a big impact here. I think I could just leave and whatever. No, listen to me. God arranged you here. Like, God saw Grace Winter Garden and he said, yeah, I need you. I'm going to take you and I'm going to fill that need with you. All these experiences I've been giving you, all these passions I've been giving you, I'm bringing you here. I'm bringing you here for you to use them here. Like, our growth is linked in such an incredible, incredible way. And look at how God uses us, arranged by God in the local church for its benefit. We're to use our gifts to serve one another. Look at verse 24. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's serving each other. If you suffer, I suffer with you, that's serving you, right? Like, if you are honored and I rejoice with you, that's service, right? Like, that's us being connected and serving one another. And we see that if you back up to verse 7 in the same passage, it says that to each it's been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. God has given you these gifts for the common good so that we would all serve one another. That's why we have these gifts. And so your spiritual gifts have been given to serve in the body. Today after church, we have a pop-up outside and there are churros. Don't leave yet, but there are churros out there right now, right? And and it's going to be a great time. We have somebody who has this incredible spiritual gift of like administration and they can just make things work and they take the crazy things that I say and they go, okay, well, actually we can do it this and we have to cross this T and dot this I. And that's what she does. And so she runs our events. And so she makes those things happen. What has she done? She's saying, these are my gifts. This is how I'm wired. This is what I'm passionate about. And so I'm going to meet this need, right? And so your spiritual gifts do that. Your passions serve the body of Christ, right? Today, after all of that is over, like if you're interested in C-127, Commission 127, it's our foster care support ministry where we support families who have foster kids. Like we bring them meals and we babysit and give them date nights, stuff like that. We have an interest meeting after church for that, and that's led by our Commission 127 liaison, if you will, is Judy Victory. Can I tell you why she's doing that? Because she's passionate about children. She's passionate about children being in loving homes and being taken care of. And that passion has led her to this ministry, which has led her to come to us to say, I'm going to do an awareness event. And I'm like, okay, we can look at the calendar. She's like, no, it's going to happen this week. And I'm like, sure it is, Judy. Right? So anyway, like that, but that's the thing. We need her passion to serve us and to point us in the right direction. Your experiences serve the body. Again, I think about how God has brought all of us together here on purpose. It's not by accident. We need you. He looked at Grace Winter Garden and he said, that's who I'm going to use. I'm going to bring her and I'm going to bring him and I'm going to bring that experience and bring that passion. And so our experiences serve one another. An incredible example. We had a family that just started coming and one of their children is on the autism spectrum and they've been dealing with a lot of challenges there. And I remember we were literally standing out in the hallway and she said, you know, can we talk to you about it? Is there somebody that's connected to the church that we talk about these challenges that we deal with? And I said, oh my gosh, yes. There's a volunteer in Grace Kids right now whose brother is on the autism spectrum, is now a grown man, and he spent his whole life helping his brother. He's in the medical field now. He has a lot of expertise about this. He has a lot of experience about this. Please, let me get you in touch with him. So they meet, they talk. We're tearing the whole building down. Like, we're getting all this stuff packed up. They're still talking. And then they meet outside of the church to talk more and to provide support and to help. That's on purpose. Like, God brought those people through our door. And then at the same time, he was bringing this person with his experience in their own family. And he's saying, this experience is going to meet this need. And he brought us together in that way. We are indispensable. Our lives are about letting go. And this is the place that we let go. This is the place where we pour out in the local church. Because in the body of Christ, each has been given diverse and indispensable gifts arranged by God in the local church for its benefit. I told you earlier, if you knew what your spiritual gifts were, you knew what your most impactful moments were, if you knew what your passions were, to write them down. And here's the question I want to ask you now that you know what they are. How can they serve the local church that you've been placed in? Some of you understand you're visiting, you're from other churches, maybe you're from out of town. So I want you to think about, in your context of your local church where God has placed you, how can the spiritual gifts, your passions, your experiences, how can they serve the local church you've been placed in? We are constantly trying to, one of our culture statements here, one of our house rules here is simple steps. Like, we want to make it easy for you to find take your next step towards Christ. And so that's one of the reasons why we have the churros outside. And you're like, churros lead me to Jesus? Of course they do. They have cinnamon on them. But secondly, we have tables set up out there. And on every other seat, you should have a card there that says something. What does it say at the top of it, Sarah? What is it? Count me in. All right, there you go. Count me in, right? And so we have those cards here, but we also have them out at the table, and we have a representative from every ministry on that card standing out there. They're going to be standing out there by that table. And so this is one of the, we're trying to make it easy for you to plug in and say, okay, I'm gonna start using my gifts and my passions and my experiences within the body of Christ, because our spiritual growth is inextricably linked. And I want to grow, and I want you to grow, and I understand that God placed me here. He arranged me here for a purpose. So we've made that simple, but let me just be real honest. Finding your place of service where God has wants you to be, and he wants to use your experience and your passion, your spiritual gifts, it's a process of discovery straight up. Like, you're not going to find that card, and you're probably not going to like check a box and then get plugged in, and everything's just going to be 100% perfect, right? You're going to be like, this is it. I was born for this moment, right? Like, maybe that happens. Maybe that will happen to you by God's grace. Maybe that'll happen. But the reality is, like let's going back to the body analogy. Oftentimes that's not how we discover things about ourselves, right? Like, I think about, as many of you know, I've been dealing with vertigo over the past, I don't know, 6 months to a year or whatever. And I don't know whose sin in my house it is. Definitely not mine, but we're trying to figure that out. But no, I'm just kidding. No, but I've been dealing with vertigo. And so I talked to a doctor I go to, an ENT, and I don't know, he wasn't very good. I don't know if he's a full ENT, maybe he's just an E, but I go to him, and he's like, okay, well, what you can do for vertigo is you can take this supplement, and then you can like turn your head a certain way, and you can do this or whatever. So I do all of these kung fu moves, and it doesn't work, right? So then I go to an ear surgeon, and then to another doctor, and so he goes, I've got great news. This pill right here, 80% of patients who take it never have vertigo again. And I was like, I'll take four at a time. Like, so I start taking that. I have the worst vertigo episodes of my life after taking those pills, like the absolute worst. So I go back to the doctor, and he goes, it didn't work, huh? And I was like, nope, sure didn't. And he was like, well, you're in the 20%. And I was like, awesome. So then I was like, well, what's next? And he goes, I've got a great idea. We're going to take this. You see this needle? We're going to put steroids in it, and we're going to stick it in your eardrum 3 times. And I was like, nope, we're not doing that, all right? And so we like start talking. He's like, do you want vertigo again? And I was like, no, let's do it. And so like he injects this stuff in my ear. Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. The first time was fine. The second one's after it, they're hitting the exact same spot. I don't know how eardrums are supposed to heal. Mine apparently is a slow healer. And so like the second time there was a lot of bad things going on in my mind, but out of my mouth, just blessings in scripture. So anyway, So I had that done. And listen, let me tell you, as far as I know, it's worked. Like, I haven't had vertigo since. I hope to never have it again. But here's my point in telling you all that is, one, pray for me. But two is, like, sometimes finding out things about how our body works and how it works together, it's a process, right? It's a process. Like, why? Because it's living and it's moving in the same way. Like, it's a process to figure out. God has arranged us. It's a process to figure out how he's arranged us. And so what I encourage you is, like, you've got to get out and you've got to figure it out, because it has to be in context. Like, you can't just sit at home and go, I think I'd be good at this. No, you have to go try, and you have to go in the context of the body of Christ and try and find out how God has arranged us. I have a great example. We have a guy who just recently, we made him our assistant director of Grace Ops, or assistant to the director of Grace Ops, however you want to say it. And let me tell you, this guy has served in every area of ministry we have. You look at that sheet of paper right there with like all the areas, he's done every single one of them. And he's killed it in every single one. He's done a great job in every single one of them. What I'm excited about is his passions and his abilities and his giftings lined up with a need that we had. We needed more support in Grace Ops. And so now like he's focused his attention there. Now I think that he's probably still gonna try to serve in all these other areas. That's another conversation we'll have with him. But his all these things lined up, right? Well, how did he get there? It was a process. Like, it was a process of him saying, okay, God, I believe you've arranged me in this local body for its benefit, so I'm just going to start meeting needs and see where I fit, right? And so I'd encourage you to find that. And the last thing, and the thing that's most encouraging, is that God will guide us. The scripture tells us that if we lack wisdom, that we're to ask God, who gives it to us in abundance, because he's a generous God. And so we just need to ask God to help us in this process, and he'll help us in this process. And along the way, you'll experience incredible spiritual growth. And here's the thing, we will too. Like, we will too. Because again, we're not just bound with Jesus, but now we are bound to one another. And our spiritual growth is inextricably linked to one another within the community of faith. Let me pray for us, and we'll get out of here. Father God, my prayer for all of us in this room is for your wisdom for us. It's for your wisdom for us. We understand, and we are grateful to gain this understanding today through your scripture, that you have arranged all the members as you see fit. And so we understand that anyone who is attending Grace Winter Garden, anyone who's maybe jumping into membership here, God, that they're not here by accident. They're not here because they happen to like this church better than another. That God, you've arranged them to be here, that you've looked at our campus and you said, they have these needs, I have her, I'm gonna send her. They have these needs, I have him, I'm gonna send him. And so God, we recognize that we are not here by accident, but we are arranged by you to be here. And so God, we want to grow spiritually, that's why we're here. But we also want our brothers and sisters to grow. We want to all take our next step towards you. And we recognize that we actually have a lot to do with that for one another. And so God, I pray for wisdom, that we would find our place of service, that we'd be able to figure out how you've gifted us and how you've wired us and the passions you've given us and the experiences that you've turned towards our good. God, would you teach us how to take all of those things, the totality of who we are in you, and figure out how to best serve the body of Christ with that. Where to fit. Hey God, we admit it's a process. We know it is. And so God, I pray for courage, because I think that's probably what most of us need. As we step into a new place of service, as we put ourselves out there and say, all right, I'm going to try to meet this need. I think we probably need courage for that more than anything. Because it's a scary thing to step into something you don't know. But God, we know we don't step into that alone. We know you're with us. And we also know that we step into that with our brothers and sisters. We don't serve in Grace Kids with volunteers. We serve in Grace Kids with brothers and sisters. We don't serve on Grace Ops with just other volunteers. We serve in Grace Ops with our brothers and our sisters. That wherever we choose to try to pour out, wherever we choose to try to meet needs, we never do that alone. So God, would you remind us of that and give us the courage to step out and say, okay, God, I want to grow, and I want my family to grow with me. So I'm going to serve. I'm going to figure it out. So God, would you give us the courage to do that, and the boldness and the joy? Like, would you gift us with the joy of stepping into the place that you've arranged us to step into? May we feel that confidence and that joy that we can only find when we're following you. So Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for your wisdom. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.